Football is back. The NFL is through the first month of their season, and college football is getting ready to start up with all major conferences in action. It's time to take a look at what the NFL and college football can do to make sure that football stays with us.
Well, I mean, we're through a month of this NFL season, Jim, but this is the week where everything's kind of gotten out of hand. We're watching COVID tests in New England. We're seeing Tennessee maybe have to forfeit games. I mean, it is getting out of hand. And, you know, talking with some folks around the NFL, they're not saying bubble quite yet, but I'm thinking that's where we're headed right now. There's too many positive cases, in my opinion, to even consider not going to a bubble format just to make sure that you're going to be okay. I wouldn't wait any longer, my man. What do you think about that? Because I think it's time.
Yeah, Bob, it's been a while since we've had our podcast, but lots happened since then. I mean, we're actually playing games, and, you know, right now I think we're running a very fine line with potentially what they call the hard bubble, where they will have the players basically in a dorm setting, a hotel, where they will be, you know, in a hotel. Everything will be, you know, all-encompassing or all-inclusive, where they'll eat there, they'll do everything there. They'll go to the facility probably via several shuttle buses and, you know, literally their whole life for the next X amount of months and going into the playoffs and potentially the Super Bowl. You know, these guys will probably have a chance to be in what they call the hard bubble to survive and play the rest of this season, you know.
You know, I'm surprised we got to where we are right now through, you know, 4 weeks of the season and here now into week five of the season, trying to, you know, figure out if this is the right thing to do, if we should be going to a bubble. I'm really surprised the NFL has waited this long and they didn't really try to initiate that hard bubble right from the start so we wouldn't be in this type of situation with as much money that's on the line with the TV deals and getting these games played. I'm really shocked we've made it through 5 weeks where the NFL hasn't said, all right, screw this. We're all going to operate on the safe side and just get put in these hard bubbles for the entire season.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell, but, you know, some of it probably is a little bit of ego. You know, they have some really smart people behind the scenes, doctors, team physicians, trainers that have all collaborated, you know, as well as the NFLPA has their doctors, their people, their medical professionals. I think they thought that the window was right. The numbers were dropping in a lot of their markets. And, you know, I think right now, let's be honest, I think they've gotten caught with their hands in the cookie jar a little bit, you know?
I think you're right about that. I think the ego does drive this thing, obviously, in the NFL, and I think they probably wanted to be an organization that was going to lay it down on the line and show everybody how it was done, and then realize pretty quickly into this, a month into this thing, uh-oh, if we want to conclude this season, we're going to have to change things up a little bit. But, you know, I think the only question for me and the biggest kind of, hold on a second here for me is, what were players doing all this? I know if I was a player, I'd say, see you later. I'd wave bye to my family. I'd go hoof it to the hotel and be okay with that for the next couple of months. But you know that's going to be a fight on the hands of the players and the Players Association if they get to that point where they are going towards a bubble.
Yeah, I mean, I think the NFL Players Association and the league are talking right now, I'm sure, you know, about a new rewritten or new reformed opt-out for some of these guys. And then obviously for the players that, you know, stay in the quote unquote hard bubble, you know, I think that, the league will provide them and the league will, the player association and the league will provide them, you know, with maybe, some benefits there, you know, within, you know, maybe even giving them an extra year of benefits, you know, when they retire. I mean, there's all kinds of ways they could tweak that, but at the end of the day, I think, you know, I mean, we get halfway through the season and teams start really having issues. Mad scramble.
Yeah, it is going to be a mad scramble. And the last thing you want to do is start canceling games, reduce this to a 12-game season, you know, change up the way that, you know, the NFL is normally played. I mean, you want to try to keep it as, I think, as normal as you possibly can during a pandemic. And the last thing you want are forfeited games, especially like one that could potentially happen this weekend and really affect the playoff race in the AFC. Like, if you think that, you know, Tennessee forfeiting a game to Buffalo doesn't have an impact on the postseason, boy, it really does. I mean, sitting here in Kansas City, seeing Buffalo get a free win over the Titans. I mean, that's bullshit. I mean, as far as I'm concerned,
free win, and you know, less wear and tear on the body. You know, they can. It's almost like an extra bye week, and bye weeks in football in the NFL and major college football. That's as good as gold, you know, mm-hmm. to get guys back in shape. The personnel departments being able to rework, you know, how they look at their roster.
Yeah, it is a huge deal and a huge advantage to the opposition who does get that bye, and a huge disadvantage for everybody else. And the one thing we did see about Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NHL and all the stuff that they went through, you never really saw, except for the shortened season, obviously, and some changes like that, you never saw the game bastardized, okay? You may have changed up a little bit and had some seven-inning doubleheaders here or there, but at the end of the day, you were still getting those games in. If the NFL gets to a point where the Chiefs play 16 games and Buffalo plays 15 and another team plays 13 games, and you get down to the end of the season where you have an odd number, it's going to screw with playoff seeding, and it's really going to present an unfair advantage to that team that had those buys and days off.
Well, the other thing too is, and you know, not to get off the subject of that that individual part of it, you know, there's a game behind the game in the NFL that the regular fan doesn't quite understand. They really don't need to understand it. Now, if you're a fantasy nerd or whatever, I can get you, could probably be into it a little bit. But, you know, these personnel departments, college and pro, I mean, we're talking 20, 25, 30 people involved in the, or maybe more with some organizations. You know, I mean, as the attrition gets more and more with injury, as well as COVID, those personnel guys are just as important as, you know, the guys making the calls on the field, you know, because the NFL just a couple days ago, they're only allowing five players to work out per week, you know. So if you have a guy go down, you might be in real trouble. Now, they said they would expand that number if you had three guys go on the IR in 1 week. That's a lot of players to go down on IR, you know, so you better have a really good short list of players that you find faith on that they're going to be in shape or not. I mean, you can make a lot of mistakes, and let's be honest, even though these are billion-dollar companies, it costs a lot of money to fly players in and out, millions and millions of dollars.
You know, and that's where I think when you look at Kansas City and you look at the way that Brett Veach and the personnel department have done things here, they're hitting home runs. They're not just hitting home runs with the Patrick Mahomes or the Clyde Edwards-Helaire or anything like that. They're hitting home runs with the minor players, the smaller park guys like the Mike Pinnells of the world and Charvarius Wards and guys like that, even the kicker, Tommy Thompson or whatever his name is. Like they're hitting home runs with a lot of these guys that really show up at the end of the season. You look back and go, man, where would we have been without that guy on the team? Where would we have been without this guy?
Brett Veach, the high-level executives in this league, even the younger guys that have gotten their shot to be executives in this league, the roster is built by undrafteds. You know, look at like what they've done with Taco Charlton. You know, I know Taco. He's from Pickerington, Ohio. I mean, he was a high-level draft choice out of Michigan. He can rush the quarterback. You know, he's been cut several times by, you know, one by Dallas. You know, he just made a big play last week, you know, had a sack and a fumble, you know. And, you know, yes, is he going to be a star in the league? Probably not. But he's another piece to this, you know, 2020 team in Kansas City that, you know, 2-3 sacks this season could be huge.
Well, and that's another guy that you look at, and we were talking about it on the show this week about, you know, Dwayne Haskins getting benched by the Minnesota Vikings, getting benched by the football team in Washington, and you think, oh, there's just another failed quarterback in the NFL, but so much of it has to do with which system in which you get drafted in, and not just for a quarterback, but for a guy like Taco Charlton as well. He's with Dallas. He's considered a bust. He's been in Miami. He's considered a bust.
Yeah.
Comes here to Kansas City, and all of a sudden, he's playing well, and that says a lot for Andy Reid and his coaching staff, and that's why even through this pandemic, a team like the Chiefs, a veteran-led team with coaches like that and front office personnel that are veteran-led, you know, organizations, they got an advantage over, I would think, everybody else around the league because they know how to coach talent.
Sure. I mean, You know, I mean, guys that, like Andy that, you know, have been in the business a long time, believe in their system, and are able to implement it on the field with confidence. I mean, these are the teams that seem to always – I mean, look at Mike Tomlin with the Steelers. I mean, you know, they don't have a lot of talent. They have a quarterback that came off a major injury that's, you know, almost as old as we are. Mm-hmm. You know, that's – you know, here they are, still in the playoff race, still have a chance to – I mean, they've shipped off – you know, legendary talent, you know, unbelievable talent, you know, Brown and Le'Veon Bell. And, I mean, they still continue to do it because they believe in the system. They believe in their defensive schemes. And they have great, great, Dan Colbert is one of the best GMs / executives in the NFL. So, you know, it's a huge piece of it. It, trust me, COVID has made this game even more strategic. I mean, like I said, if you don't truly have a true shortlist, every position has a shortlist of players these guys call on. Now, you know, on Tuesday, they bring a ton of these guys in to work out. Well, right now, you can only bring in five a week. And if you have a bunch of injuries at defensive line and, you know, you bring in a bunch of DB, I mean, you know, so it's you got to be smart.
Yeah, you do. And I think this is going to test everybody as we continue to meander through a season that is, you know, being played during a pandemic. And obviously we've never experienced anything like this before. We're seeing how certain teams handle it. And we're looking at a Tennessee Titans team now that they may get shut down and severely penalized because it looks like they may have operated outside the protocols, guys working out together when the team is shut down and things like that. Do you think the NFL will get to that point where they're legitimately shutting down a team?
Oh, yeah, they have to. I mean, it's, you know, it's the old saying, you know, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, you got to save the whole crew. You can't just save one. I mean, one team that works out of order will bring down this whole league for this year. And, I mean, the money that's on the line, you know, especially as we get into the playoff race – I mean, we all have talked, you know, you and I have talked about the cutouts in Major League Baseball and, you know, how weird it was when they first got back on. And, you know, and here we are, we're in playoff baseball. Yeah, it's as exciting as October baseball that I grew up with or you grew up with. No, but it's still damn exciting. And there's some teams in it that you haven't seen in a long time or ever thought you'd see again, like the Padres, the Marlins, even the Reds. And, you know, even though it's extremely bizarre to see an empty Lambeau Field, you know, on a primetime game, you know, as the season progresses, you know, that's what they're working for. We all know that.
Yeah, and that's what you have to be working for because that's ultimately where the money is. But even with the pandemic, the first month of the season has already been, you know, a wild ride. You're seeing the Chiefs undefeated and everybody coming after them.
We had a coach that, you know, got fired already who – you know, arguably a couple years ago was the hottest guy in the business and was given the GM job, mm-hmm. you know, from an organization that had some ultra talented executives in it. Brian Gain, Rick Smith. I mean, on and on. I mean, they have built, you know, and you've got some really exciting pieces. And they shopped away probably arguably the most talented receiver in the league. And, you know, that's going to be interesting. You know, I might, if where college football and the NFL intertwine, if Clemson was to win it all this year, you know, would they take Dabo to bring him back with Deshaun Watson? You know?
Yeah, and that may be that may be an interesting way to look at it. You're kind of getting that jump start now on going out and getting Dabo Sweeney, who may be a very hot candidate when this whole thing, you know, kind of finishes up and we're left standing at the end of the year. But I think the Texans made the right move. I mean, Bill O'Brien obviously was not getting the job done, getting into fights with J.J. Watt. The players started to revolt against him.
Yeah, they were having so much infighting. I mean, I heard there was a huge blowout this week, and I just heard it just kind of trickled down to the owner, and he said, we're making a move.
We're
and
done.
Bill O'Brien is a very defiant guy, you know. He's always been a defiant guy. He was a defiant guy when he was a minion in New England, and he was a defiant guy when he was at Penn State. So, I mean, just you live by the sword, you die by the sword, I guess.
Yeah, but that doesn't fly in the NFL, man. Like, players get paid too much money. They don't need some coach who's making, you know, a quarter of the salary that they are, start to tell them what's up. Because I think for most organizations, man, you know, unless you're Bill Belichick or Andy Reid, a lot of the players are a hell of a lot more valuable than the coach, and they showed that down in Houston.
Yeah, it's the day of Dick Butkus, you know, or I mean Dick Butkus, Mike Ditka, roaming around the sidelines like a madman. Yeah, I think those days are done. I mean, the game has gone away from that anyways. I mean, the style of play, the amount of practices, the amount of toughness you truly need to play the game of football, unfortunately, and Andy has, you know, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum, but, you know, Andy has changed a lot since his days in Philly. I mean, he's like a teddy bear compared to what he was. And, I mean, I'm sure winning has helped that out a lot, you know. And the KC media and the KC fans are not like the Philly fans. It's just not even in the same hemisphere.
Yeah.
So, you know, they absolutely destroy you if you're starting to lose, you know, in Philly, as you know, being an East Coast guy.
Well, and I thought, too, like going into this season, if I'm an owner of a team, unless you have a guy like Bill O'Brien or, you know, somebody who's been there for a while, it's hard to judge a team and a coach and an organization on this year. Like, I know it's a results-oriented business, but if I'm a football team that, you know, has a coach in year two or year three and we have a down year, I don't know that I'm making any changes. But if I've got a guy like Bill O'Brien or, you know, down in Atlanta with Dan Quinn or something like that where the losing has been, you know, going on a lot now and where you're losing the team like Bill O'Brien obviously did in Houston, then I would make a change. Do you get the sense, though, that we're in this business and owners are going to operate on a normal year when they're evaluating their teams?
It's an unbelievable question. I mean, I live it every day with what I do for a living. But, the consensus is before the kickoffs in the NFL and in college that this would be the most dead year you'd ever see transactionally in the coaching profession or even in scouting in the NFL as well as college in the coaching end of it as well. But here we are, you know, we already have at Southern Miss. That's not Ohio State or Notre Dame, but it's still a Division I school. We have, you know, Bill O'Brien gone. You know, let's be honest, Houston could have honestly upset a KC last year in Arrowhead. This all could be under the – I mean, he was so close to turning the whole tide of this business with a young player like Deshaun and the talent he has around him. I think now, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago or even a couple more weeks prior to that, I'd say, yeah, I think this is dead. But I'm starting to really think, because think about it. If Dabo takes the Houston Texans job, and he's got to think about it, right? I mean, he could have had two premier Clemson players on that Texans roster. Unfortunately, Bill sent the other one to Arizona. But his premier love of his life quarterback, Deshaun Watson, now he's got Lawrence, but still, he cannot not look at it. And I wouldn't shock me if he takes it. Well, then that job's now open. That premier Clemson job is open. Everybody in America will want that job, right? And then all of a sudden you see those dominoes. So this thing could really open up again.
Yeah,
which is insane.
It is, and I think that's probably, you know, owners are sometimes patient, sometimes not. And if they start seeing a trend where other teams are starting to make moves, they may try to make a move as well. Like, you know, no offense, I know Dan Quinn's your guy down in Atlanta, but if the Falcons lose another game and they're sitting at 0-5, Houston whack their coach. What's to say they're not going to make a move as well?
I think Arthur Blank will. You know, if things get uglier down there in Atlanta, I think Arthur Blank will feel more comfortable to make a decision on a guy that got him very close to winning a Super Bowl to making that move because he's not the first. I know that sounds crazy, but sometimes it's hard being the first, you know, and especially with a guy that got you to the Super Bowl with a team that should have won a Super Bowl. So it's a wild and wild scene right now in the game of football all over.
It is, and that brings us to college football. I mean, this, when you talk about a cluster bleep, you know, college football is the biggest dumpster fire cluster that we've ever seen. I mean, after living through all of this, at the and not just the football, so the basketball side's a freaking mess as well. As we live through all of this and kind of seeing the wild, wild west attitude, are we looking, and I think we have to be looking, for major changes in college football moving forward once we get on the other side of this pandemic, whenever that may be?
Well, and I know I've said this too ad nauseum, but you know, the likeness stuff comes out January 2021. I mean, that's a hop, skip, and a jump right now. I mean, we're almost getting ready to celebrate Halloween, and we all know what's next after Halloween. It's Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you know, it'll be interesting because there is no conference this year. The AFCA coaches conference is not going on. Which is huge. Did a lot of litigate, you know, a lot of stuff is figured out. A lot of the language is figured out at that conference every year, and it's canceled because of COVID. I think with likeness and everything, I really believe, I don't know if it'll be 2021, but it'd probably be 2022 where, you know, you see the big boys, you know, kind of like doing their own thing, you know, the Power Fives. And you might see a couple scragglers like UCF, Cincinnati, Houston, and maybe one or two others that get to join, by BYU, get to join the party. And the rest of them will be playing for, you know, they'll be playing for whatever.
Yeah, and I think that's where it has to go. I mean, you have to start to get some order in college football. And if you're going to have these Power Five schools, these Power Five conferences, everybody needs to be on the same playing field. We can't have the Big 12 and the SEC and the ACC playing while the Pac-12 isn't and the Big 10's wondering what to do and everybody's walking around confused. You know, you have to see some kind of, I think, order in it right now, because I think right now college football is a massive joke with the way that they've handled everything.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell. I wish I was able to pinpoint everything. You know, a lot of it, unfortunately, since we had our last podcast, you know, some things have unraveled. You know, we're in a very, very heated political situation. The states are like Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania. I mean, those are huge battleground states. I mean, even President Trump came out and said he saved the Big Ten at the debate, you know. And there is some truth to that in a lot of ways, because, you know, he could not have those states like Ohio, Michigan, and Pennsylvania to not be playing. Yeah, so, I mean, it's been a mess. It will be interesting to see how it all ends. You know, everybody's going to be playing, pretty much playing October after October 24th, when the Big Ten and Pac-12 come back in, the MAC, and some of the other smaller conferences. But, you know, it'll be exciting. I keep hearing people saying an asterisk next to the season for both the NFL and college. Yeah, you think LeBron James is going to put an asterisk next to this NBA championship he's going to win?
No, and I don't think you need to be putting asterisks next to it. You just need to write 2020 next to it, and everybody will go, oh yeah, I remember what the hell happened that year. We were all locked in our homes, and we're talking to each other on computers. Yeah, that's what happened, you know, in 2020. I mean, I think everybody will know. I don't think it needs an asterisk at all. I think the year 2020 is going to stand on its own for obviously so many different things, but from the sports standpoint as well, people are going to look at 2020 and go, oh yeah, that's right. They played a shortened baseball season, a shortened college football season, but so what?
Yeah, I mean, and especially like what we were talking about with the NFL, and even in college football, at the highest level of college football, they have personnel departments. Recruiting is a nightmare right now. They do not have the dates set up for how they're going to handle recruiting and everything else in the Power Five or in the NCAA, but mainly Power Five. So really, if you think about it, there's, you know, this is more chess than checkers. You know, and running these rosters, dealing with the injuries, dealing with COVID, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's actually even more difficult to win in this sphere of sport than it is in the past.
You know, who has the advantage then going into, I guess, the bowls and whatnot and the championship and the BCS and whatever we're calling it today, the college football playoff? Is it the Big Ten who's starting later? Is it the, well, not the Big 12 because every team there sucks. Or is it the SEC or the ACC, a league that's been playing, has got some games under their belt?
Wow, that's a tough question. That's a tough question because I really believe, you know, back when I was playing and even in high school, we 1 year we opened up with some schools that had already played a couple of games over Missouri, and Kansas always started late, and it was an advantage. They were ready, they were healthy, they'd already taken their lumps. You know, when you have that first hit, you kind of, it just gets you back to where it's at. I mean, I think it'll be tough for the Big Ten. Now, Ohio State is ultra talented, but I don't know. The Clemsons and the Alabamas of the world, will that give them an advantage? It might.
I think it will. And I think we're seeing that in the NFL right now. I think we're starting to see some teams, you know, finally work out some of the, you know, some of the kinks, if you will, because they didn't have the preseason. And as much as we say, oh, the preseason this, the preseason that, it's still a time to get some legs underneath you and get some hits in, you know, and we're, as opposed to going into the opening game of the season and you're feeling rusty, you know?
Yeah, football is nothing but it is the most repetition sport on the planet. And the other part of the coin is for pro football and major college football is, you know, these guys are super powerful, explosive people. I mean, you're taking big bodies, they're running fast, and they're hitting things at a high velocity. And that's why you're seeing all these ACLs, soft tissue injuries, hamstrings. And some of these guys, you know, point blank, are not in shape. They're just not. Mm-hmm. They're just getting to that point, right? So, I mean, I've talked to some small college coaches, at the smaller college level. And, I mean, they flat out told me straight up, if we were to have played this year, even in, like, started in late September, right, their players were not in shape. They didn't have the spring. They didn't have the off season. And they didn't have a true, real summer camp. They said they had guys that would have been a mess out there and probably would have got severely injured.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the other thing that you're looking at now is injuries, and not just for this season, but then what happens after the season? Because this pandemic, just because the year ends, isn't mysteriously just going to go away. It's going to be here for a little bit until we get this thing under control. You have to wonder how next season's going to be affected. Well,
it's too. Definitely going to affect. It's going to, you know, they might have perfected it because they have all this time. I expect the NFL and the NFLPA to do that. Like I told you earlier, I mean, the college football has not come down with the bylaws of how they're going to handle recruiting, national signing, all that stuff. So it should be coming down the pike any minute. But the NFL stuff, I would think they would have, perfected what they dealt with last offseason with the pro days, the individual workouts, the combine, and all that, and having mini camps of some sort. But it is going to affect their offseason again, and it's going to be very hard again. It's not, you know, I feel bad for these kids that are the fringe players that over the last, you know, how many years have had a chance to get in, go into rookie mini camp and make a roster that way. It's a shame because you never get that year back. And being a year or two out of football, it's over.
It is. All right, as we get ready to wrap this thing up and we reconvene here in a couple of weeks and do another episode of this, are we going to be in a hard bubble in the NFL? And do you think college football will be kind of smooth sailing in about a month?
Wow, boy, you're going to make me really think. I think I'll take the easy way out. I think it's 50-50 right now if we're in the hard bubble. I think Tennessee and two or three other teams start really having issues like Tennessee is, where guys are just, I mean, two more guys popped up today for Tennessee. So, yeah, I think we got two or three more teams, yes. I think they go to a hard bubble to save the season. College football, I think the SEC, ACC, and the rest of the world that's playing, I think they're starting to get into a groove, and we'll see what the Big Ten ends up doing in the Pac-12. I've seen the protocol that the Big Ten is working on from a client of mine. and it is no joke. It is very strict and stringent, and it's going to be hard to operate under it. So we'll have to see. But I do think both of them get through. I think college football gets through. It's going to be a hard trudging. I think the NFL ends up getting through either by tightening things up the way they have it or going to a hard bubble. But I think they both get through, and it will be wild.
Well, there's still a long way to go before the end of the season. Will we see a bubble? Will we see the season's finish? That's all going to be told in time.